Have you ever been hurt by someone close to you? If I had to guess, I would venture to say that every person in this room has experienced this before in their life. It might have been a friend. It might have been a loved one. It might have even been a brother or sister in Christ. You love this person. And you cared for them deeply. And you needed this individual. But in your moment of weakness, they betrayed you. They turned their back on you. They kicked you when you were down, as it were, and they hurt you very deep. And the pain they caused you can still be felt in your heart even today, and the memory is still clear in your mind even this night. You were hurt by someone close to you. But do you know in the Old Testament, among the 12 minor prophets, God has preserved a tiny book that can help us cope when we've been hurt by our brethren. And it's the tiny book of Obadiah. If you have your Bible, please open up with me tonight and let's locate in our Old Testament the book of Obadiah. In this book, we find an occasion when God's people have been hurt. They have been hurt deeply by a nation very close to them. And God is not happy. This book shows us in a very powerful way how God feels about those who hurt and afflict and mistreat His own people. Because in the book of Obadiah, God is rising up as the avenger of His people and the avenger of His cause. And God is going to bring down judgment upon that nation that has hurt His children. The Bible has a great way of packing so much in just a little, and the book of Obadiah is no exception. In this tiny book, we have a powerful message about what we should and what we should not do when we've been hurt by our brethren. So as we unpack this text tonight and do two things together, I would like for us to first of all examine the text. And as we briefly examine the text of Obadiah, let's pinpoint in this passage the major message of this book. Then number two, we'll change gears. And as we shift gears, we'll focus on ourselves and we'll apply the text and see how this message applies to our life in two very powerful ways. Let's think first of all about an examination of the text. Right there in Obadiah verse 1, we learn two things about this book. Right at the very outset, we learn the author of the book, being Obadiah, the prophet of God. But we also learn the audience of the book. And no, this audience is not Israel, the northern kingdom up north, nor Judah, that southern kingdom down south. No, the audience of the book of Obadiah is the pagan, heathen nation of Edom. Now we pause for a moment and ask ourselves the question, why would God use this prophet of God named Obadiah, this messenger, this seer, this spokesman, to deliver a message to the pagan people of Edom? As we seek to examine this text and answer that question, let's think about two things very briefly. Number one, the historical context of this book. And as we do that, we backtrack all the way up in our Old Testament to the very first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis. And we come to Genesis chapter 25, and we learn about the origin of the nation of Edom. The nation began in the womb of a mother named Rebekah. In Genesis 25, verses 19 to 33, we learn that Isaac and Rebekah were praying for a child. Well, God heard their prayer. God answered that prayer. And God gave them not one son, but two. And in Genesis chapter 25, verse 22, we learned this incredibly important truth. That inside that womb of Rebekah, there were two sons, Jacob and Esau. And the Bible says those two babies in that womb were struggling with one another. And folks, that's important because that struggle will continue all throughout the Old Testament. There will continue to be animosity and hatred and strife and contention and warring and fighting and disputing all throughout the Old Testament between these two nations that would descend from these two sons. They were very different, you see. Jacob was one way, Esau was one way, but something happened in the book of Genesis that would cause all of this hatred and all of this strife. Esau, in Genesis 25, beginning in verse 33 to verse 39, sold his birthright. We keep on reading and something else happened. Jacob also, in Genesis 27, stole the blessing. And folks, those two things fueled that hatred, fueled that animosity, and all throughout the Old Testament in this historical context of the book, we find strife between these two nations. You see, Jacob produced the nation of Israel. Esau produced the nation of Edom. During the United Kingdom, we had three kings. Each reigned for 40 years. Saul, David, and Solomon. And during the reign of each of those three kings, there was strife between Israel and Edom. In the days of King Saul, the Edomites resisted against Saul, resisted Israel, and they fought against them. In the days of King David, they were subdued by Israel. In the days of King Solomon, they were again subdued by Israel. But then that kingdom split into two nations, a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom. But this strife did not end. It continued even then. During the reign of King Jehoshaphat, the people of Edom rebelled again. During the reign of King Jehoram, they rebelled again. And last but not least, during the reign of King Ahaz, they rebelled again and regained their freedom as a nation. Folks, that sets for us the backdrop for this message. It explains in part why Obadiah had a message for the people of Edom. There's history here. There's a lot of bad blood here between these two nations. But not just that, number two, as we examine this text and seek to understand why Obadiah had a message for Edom, not just the historical context of the book, but look at the contents of the book. Look at beginning in verse 10, what Obadiah says about the people of Edom. He says they've done violence to their brother Jacob. Look at verse 11. They've stood afar off when God's people Israel were in dire need. Look at verse 12. They're gloating over the misfortune, the calamity of their brother Israel. Look at verse 13. Again, they're gloating over their disaster. Look at verse 13. They're looting the wealth of their brother nation, Israel. Look at verse 14. They're standing at the crossroads, cutting off their own brothers as they flee from the enemy, killing them in their flight. Whenever you and I pair verses 10 to 14 of this text with additional text found in Ezekiel and also in Jeremiah, we put a time stamp on these events. During the days the Assyrians came against the nation of Israel. They were on a mission for world domination, and next stop was Israel, with Samaria being her capital city. But whenever God's people were in dire need, they cried out to Edom, their brother nation, for relief. They cried out for help. But no help came. Instead, Edom, with all this bad blood, all this hatred, all this animosity, used this as an opportunity for revenge. They kicked them when they were down. And as these Israelites were fleeing Samaria, trying to have their lives spared, they were in the streets, they were in the roads, cutting them off. ending their flight and killing them. You see, there was betrayal here. There's someone here hurting God's people. There's someone here betraying God's people and using this as a chance for revenge. And God has some serious words for the nation of Edom. Watch what God says here in the contents of this book. Back up to verse 2. He says, God says, I'm going to make you small among the nations, God says. You'll be utterly despised among the nations of the world when I'm done with you, God says. Watch verse 4. I'm going to bring you down, God says. You're high in those cliffs, taking great refuge in your position geographically, but God says, I'm going to bring you down. I'm going to humble you. You're exalted, but I'm going to bring you low. Watch verse 5. You'll be destroyed. Watch what he says in verse 9. You'll be slaughtered. Watch what he says, verse 16. It'll be as if you were never even known on the earth. Folks, this is how strongly God feels about those who hurt His people. We have a message in this book. A message for God's people when they've been hurt by their brethren. And so, number two, let's apply this book to our lives. We've examined this book. We've seen its historical context and even some of its contents to see its message. But how does that message apply to you and to me? In two ways. Number one, Obadiah says, woe to those who hurt God's people. Jesus Christ spoke often about this. Matthew 25, this great judgment scene. Those on the right, those on the left. And our Lord says on that great day, insomuch as you've done it to the least of these, you've done it to me. In both the positive and a negative sense. Folks, how we treat God's people equals how we're treating God Himself. That's important. In Acts chapter 9, verse 1, Saul was breathing out threatenings against the church, God's disciples. But keep on reading, and the Lord appears to him on that great day and says this, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? How we treat God's people equals how we treat God Himself. And God means serious business when individuals hurt and mistreat His people. In Luke chapter 7, verses 1 to 3, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, love in a body, said, it would be better to have a millstone hung around your neck and be dropped in the sea than to mistreat one of my little ones. Folks, that's a violent, graphic death. To be never seen nor heard from again. And that's what the Lord says. I think of those who hurt and mistreat and cause my little ones to sin. Woe to those who hurt God's people. Obadiah teaches me that. But number two, Obadiah teaches me to wait. If I, as God's child, have been hurt, this book says to wait. You see, when we're hurt, we're tempted to hurt back. We're tempted to retaliate and seek vengeance, just like Edom did here in this book. But Jesus Christ Himself said, don't do that. Instead, love your enemies. Pray for them who despitefully use you. Do good to those individuals. Matthew 5, 33 and following. In Romans chapter 12, verses 18 to 21, we're to let vengeance remain with God. God will take care of that. You do your part. You love that enemy. You pray for them. You do what is good. Wait to those who have been hurt as God's people. One day, as God's promising here, I'm going to bring Edom low, but I'll take care of you. One day God will right every wrong. He'll make it right. And friend, He'll take care of you. If you've been hurt by your brethren, you're not alone. But cherish this book. When you've been hurt by your brethren, woe to those who do so, but wait to those who've been hurt.